Apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnnieMack Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.annie-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@annie-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, Annie Mac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, Annie Mac Home Mortgage, LoFi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with R&J. I am Steve Risser, along here with Justin D'Onofrio, and it has happened. Saquon Barkley has been traded. He was traded yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles. He was signed by the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants let him walk. So he signed with the Eagles 3 years, $37 million. And the big question is here for the Eagles is are they the favorite to win the NFC East? Are they the favorite to win the NFC East to go into the season with Saquon Barkley? And I think they are. He's not Christian McCaffrey, but he's still one of the top running backs in the league. Even though, you know, he has trouble staying healthy. He has trouble staying healthy at times. He's still one of the best running backs in all football. And I think now with all the weapons that are going to be around him in Philly with Jalen Hurts, with A.J. Brown, I think he's going to have a really, really big, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to have a really, really big year with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think he will. It'll be the best offensive line he's going to be able to run behind. You know, nobody's repeating that division for over 20 years. So, you know, more than likely somebody else besides Dallas will win that division if the trend kind of continues next year. And, you know, I know the Eagles kind of fell apart there towards the end of the year. And we'll kind of see if they fix some things, you know, especially defensively. I think Barkley going there is going to help their running game, having got Jalen Hurts quarterback. I don't love the hiring of Kellen Moore, but we'll kind of see how that pans out for him. I think the Eagles definitely the best shot to win the NFCs at the moment.
I think so. I mean, yeah, and you saw yesterday they got Bryce Huff. Yeah, they collapsed last year, but I mean, their offense, if with Barkley, is going to be really good, and their defense, I think it'll obviously be better than it was the last seven games. So yeah, I think this team is the best team in the NFC East. But the next question is for the Eagles, though, should they be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC? And I'm like, absolutely not. I mean, I still think the 49ers are better. I still think the Lions are better. I even think the Packers are better. Because I think the coach is a big reason why there's a lot of pressure on the head coach. And yes, how good Saquon is, I mean, DeAndre Swift also ran for, you know, over 1,000 yards for them last year. So he might make the difference of them winning the division, but he's not going to make the difference. I don't think he's going to make the difference of them, you know, going to the Super Bowl in the NFC. He's a good player, and he's a good pickup. It's a good pickup, but still. Is he good? Does he put the Eagles ahead of the Niners? No. Does he put the Eagles even ahead of the Lions? No. And he probably doesn't even put them ahead of the Packers.
Yeah, I'd have the Eagles slotted like third or fourth. Yeah, behind it. As you said, the Lions and Niners, maybe right there with the Packers. I know from the way things ended last year, Jordan Love. That's definitely a team that's got a good ceiling right now. I don't think it makes them the favor here to win the conference. They still think the Niners have more talent than them. So want to kind of see that defense gets fixed, especially in the secondary, what they do there. You know, I know they added Huff, but kind of like see what they do, you know, adding on to that. But so, yeah, I would still definitely take the Lions or 49ers. Yeah, maybe even the Packers. Just ahead of Eagles. Yeah, he, you know, Barkley's a nice player, but, you know, he's not a, you know, he's not a total difference maker at the running back position. And, you know, like he's, you know, he's good, but like, yeah, like the, you know, he's not gonna, you know, it's tough for running back to kind of be a total difference maker. But so, yeah, I have the Niners being still better than the Eagles in the conference.
Yeah. You look at Barkley's seasons with the Giants rookie year. He was really good. Second year, he was banged up. Third year, he missed pretty much all the season. Pretty much was out for the year. Fourth year, banged up. Fifth year was real great, like his first year. And then last year, he was not as good. So it was he was really good for the Giants. Had two great years for them. But I just don't see him as the difference maker in terms of the Eagles getting over the hump against a team like the 49ers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he hasn't. You know, I feel like with Barkley too, at times. He runs inside the tackles. He either gets like 1 or 2 yards. He'll get zero, and then he'll burst one for like 50. You know, I feel like there's too much inconsistency sometimes in his running game. But yeah, you know, if he could stay healthy too, yeah, you know, he'll be a nice pickup. But yeah, you know, he's a nice player. He's been huge for the Giants. You know, when he's been on the field, I know, you know, the offensive weapons, you know, wide receivers have been great over the years since Barkley's come in, and they, you know, but yeah, you know, he's a good running back, but yeah, you know, I think the Eagles overpaid a little bit for him, but hey, you got his money. And if you're a running back, you got to get your money when you can, because you don't have a long shelf life anymore in the league.
No. And he did, he got his money and he got his money. And yes, a lot of Giant fans are going to get upset at him. For me, it's hard seeing him wear green. Let's be honest. It's hard seeing him being an Eagle. But number one, I get it's business. And number two, I had a feeling they were going to move on from anyway. So it doesn't hurt me as much. And I think that what went on later in the day didn't hurt me as much either. And we'll get to that. And we'll get to that, because the day for Giant fans and free agency yesterday was tough because it was tough at the beginning, because you saw the Saquon Barkley thing. You saw Xavier McKinney get signed with the Packers. But then the Giants made the big move and they traded for they traded and signed Brian Burns. They gave Brian Burns $30 million a year. I think it was 5 years, $150 million. So I really like this move getting Brian Burns. I really like him on this defensive line with Dexter Lawrence and with Kayvon Thibodeau. I think this is a really, really good move for the Giants getting Brian Burns. And yesterday they also improved on the offensive line. They got one of the offensive linemen from the Raiders. They got John Runyon's son. So they improved on the offensive line. They improved on the defensive line. A day that looked awful for the Giants ended up being a good day, and it was capped off by signing Brian Burns.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think linebacker, that was a position of need for the Giants, where they need a couple upgrades. And yeah, bringing a guy like Brian Burns, who's 26, will be 30 or 25, 26. So it'll be like 30 when this deal's up. You know, and you gave up what you gave up for Leonard Williams. So I guess now you're just trading this for Leonard Williams, which, you know, is not a bad trade if you think in that sense. And then, yeah, you know, the offensive line was something else where they've not been able to figure that out the last couple of years. And bringing two guys right away can, you know, hopefully help that and improve that, because – you know, Daniel Jones hasn't been totally healthy right now. It sounds like he'll be the starter going in, you know, if his knee's ready by the time week one comes around. And, you know, you got to be, you know, now you're on Barkley. So, you know, now you bring in a Singletary as well for their running game. You know, hopefully they can kind of open up some holes for him. And then losing McKinney's a tough one, because you figure they were going to sign, I feared they were going to sign Xavier McKinney because they were going to let go of Barkley, and they didn't. So, you know, McKinney kind of reset the safety market there, and Giants didn't really want to, really. Did they actually end up even offering him, or was it like Barkley? Because I didn't see that.
I think it was kind of like Barkley. They kind of just let him walk. Yeah. So yeah, it's tough to lose McKinney, but I think the Giants will be in on Justin Simmons. I think they'll be in on Micah Hyde definitely, because Brian Daboll and Joe Shane know him. I think they'll be in on a Justin Simmons. I think they might be in on CJ. They could be in on CJ Gardner-Johnson too. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But all in all, I think it was a good day for the Giants. I think they improved their defense, their offensive line and their defensive line. I know they lost Saquon, but they did. Let's not forget they did go out and they signed Devin Singletary. So you could pair. You could do it by committee. You could pair him with Eric Gray. You could pair him with the running back. Someone you take in the draft. You don't know what's gonna happen with Matt Breida. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, I think it was a good day for the Giants. I really did. And Brian Burns made it. The trade for Brian Burns definitely made it a good day for that team. But we are going to move on to the quarterbacks, and we'll start with Kirk Cousins, who signed with the Falcons yesterday. We got a 4-year deal. I think it was like 170. What number? Like 4 years.
I believe
180 million. So
yeah.
So he's getting over 40 million a year. So the Falcons, you know, they definitely upgraded. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They upgraded a quarterback from Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder to go out and get Kirk Cousins. The big question though for the Falcons is are they the best team in the NFC South? And I think they are. I think they are. I think I can't trust Baker. He's too up and down. I don't like Dennis Allen with the Saints. I mean, I think they'll be okay, but I don't like Dennis Allen with the Saints. And I think with some of the weapons he has, with Bijan Robinson, with Drake London, with Kyle Pitts, who needs to be a little bit better. Kyle Pitts needs to be better, but with the weapons he had, they just signed Darnell Mooney too. So with the weapons they got, I think that the Falcons are the best team in the NFC South. They need to get an edge rusher in the draft. They definitely need to do that. But I think right now the Falcons should be the favorite to win the NFC South.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I think Kirk Cousins is a major upgrade over Desmond Ridder. You know, with the offensive talent they have, I think Cousins, you know, if he can come back healthy enough coming off the Achilles injury, he's 34, 35. So I know that's tough at his age, but we've seen him put up big numbers, you know, with the Vikings. I know he's only got one playoff win. But he could put up a lot of numbers. And I think with the weapons he has around him, I think he's going to make Kyle Pitts better, Drake London better. And, you know, I wanted the Falcons to sign Bill as the head coach, but I still think Raheem Morris is an upgrade too as a head coach than Arthur Smith. So, you know, I Arthur Smith was a horrible play caller. And I expect the Falcons too to be a lot better with the play calling offensively as well. So, I think this is a great pickup for Atlanta, and I do think it makes them the favorite to win that division.
So, but are they Super Bowl contenders this year? I'm going to say no, because I still think Kirk Cousins coming off the torn Achilles, throughout Kirk Cousins' career, it's tough to trust a team that he's the quarterback of to be Super Bowl contenders. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think that Kirk Cousins is right now. He's a decent quarterback. He's obviously an upgrade, but he's not a top 10 quarterback. And you could argue he's not even a top 15 quarterback, especially coming off a torn Achilles. So I think they win the division, but I think they win one playoff game at most.
Yeah, I think that's probably as far as they're going to go, because they're probably going to be the 4 seed more than likely. It may be tough because you might have to face either like a Dallas or Eagles who doesn't win the NFC East, or even the team that doesn't win the North, and a Lions Packers like that. I know you'll be at home, but that won't be an easy one. So yeah, maybe they could get one of those, but I don't think, more than likely, then you're probably facing the 1 seed. And I don't think, you know, they're going out to San Francisco and knocking that team off. So yeah, I think it'd be tough for them to win more than one playoff game. But I think for Atlanta, think you'd take that right now. I think you'd take it. If you get the playoff, you won one round. So I don't think they're a playoff or a Super Bowl contender yet. Maybe they could do more defensively coming up in free agency in the draft, but I don't see them being there yet.
Yeah, Dallas Turner would be a nice, really, really nice pickup for them at number 8. That'd be a really good pickup for them at 8. But yeah, I think they're a good team. I think they're going to win their division, but I just don't see this team making a run in the playoffs because I just don't trust the quarterback in the playoffs. As you've seen. I mean, Kirk Cousins is just not he's pretty good regular season quarterback. He is a terrible postseason quarterback.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. You know, that one win, they've gotten, you saw last year they lost to the Giants, and you know, Giants were definitely the better team that day, and then you know, their offense looks well. I was thinking that one. And yeah, you know, they've had weapons, you know, Kirk Cousins had weapons around him, and yeah, for, you know, whatever reason, just hasn't been able to get it done. So maybe going down to Atlanta will help them, you know, do scene, but you know, I do, you know, I think, you know, yeah, he's been a great regular season quarterback. He's going to put up giant numbers. They got enough around him, but yeah, now it's kind of, can he take that next step? And, you know, we'll see. Coming off that Achilles you mentioned, it's going to be tough for him to get past, you know, the divisional round.
Oh yeah, it is. It definitely is. But now moving on to his team and what their plan is at quarterback. Yesterday they signed Sam Darnold, a 1-year, $10 million deal. But I think for them, it's going to be hard. They're in a tough spot because the Bears are probably not going to trade him Justin Fields. And pretty much they have like the number 13 pick. They're in the middle of the draft. They have like the number 13, 12 or 13 pick in the draft. So I think they're either going to move up and get a quarterback, or maybe even just give Sam Darnold a shot to be a starter. So we'll see what happens. I think that's their plan. Either move up and trade for McCarthy, or see if you give Sam Darnold a year as the starter.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that was an odd one. They do have the number 11 pick in the draft. So, yeah, they're right outside the top 10. So, yeah, you know, maybe they try to find a way to move up. But, yeah, giving Sam Darnold 10 mil, I know he's with the Niners, but I still don't see it with him. You know, now that the Patriots got, I know we'll get to that one later, but getting Bichette for 8 mil is, it seems like a bargain. But, yeah, maybe they do give him a shot because, yeah, I can't imagine they trade Fields, and really the only quarterback I can think of that's still out there is like Jimmy G, but I know he's got that suspension he's going to serve now. So I don't think the Vikings will put him in play, and I don't see Mullins being the guy or Jared Hall. So, and obviously we saw Josh Dobbs, you know, what he did after kind of that Atlanta game. So, yeah, right now it seems like Sam Darnold's going to be the guy in, you know, week one.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that, but yeah, it looks like that's where things are headed. But we will talk about another quarterback who was signed, and that is Russell Wilson. He signed with the Steelers on Sunday night, and the big question here is can Russ win this job? Can Russ win this job over Kenny Pickett? And I think he can. I even think he was better than Kenny Pickett last year, and I think he's gonna win this job. I think Kenny Pickett really struggled last year. Russell Wilson was better than people thought. We brought up the numbers last year, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks. He was better than people thought. I think that Russell Wilson will be the starter of this team next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think so. And, you know, with Deontay Johnson, George Pickens that they got, you know, Pat Freiermuth, like they got some nice weapons, and, you know, they can get that running game going. The offensive line, you know, still not great. But yeah, you know, to seal a team, I think Russell Wilson will do fine there. And I think, yeah, I think he'll beat out Kenny Pickett for that job. I think that probably means, you know, Mason Rudolph moves on, and, you know, and Trubisky as well. And yeah, I expect Russell Wilson beat out Kenny Pickett. He did. Yeah, you know, Pickett hasn't played well so far really in his career. And, you know, Pittsburgh trying to make a move in a tough division where you got through other pretty good quarterbacks, and, you know, it's going to be tough, and yeah, they're going to need the quarterback play. They're going to need to put up points to compete in that division.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely. They're definitely going to have to put up points. I think Wilson, yeah, he's not the guy he was in Seattle, but I think he will help them put up those points. But the next question is are the Steelers a playoff team with Russell Wilson? I think they are. I think they are. With the defense is pretty good. Really good head coach. It's an upgraded quarterback. They made the playoffs last year with a combination of Kenny Pickett and with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And what did you say?
And Rudolph, yeah.
Yeah, with Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. So I think they do. I do think the Steelers are a playoff team with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, because you mentioned, you know, with, you know, the quarterbacks last year, they had Rudolph and Pickett. And with that defense, they're able to get 10 wins. And I think you had a guy like Russell Wilson, and you're going to get another win or two out of that. And I know in the division, you know, Watson was hurt. And Joe Burrow is hurt most of the year, which did help out. And both those guys are going to be back, you know, next season, of course. So, you know, that'll make it a little bit tougher. But yeah, like this team going 10-7, I know TJ Watt's been a huge difference maker when he's healthy too. Like, but still with that defense and Tomlin, I expect, you know, the Steelers to be right back in the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I agree. And, but the big question is, yes, we think they're going to the playoffs. can they contend for the AFC North and be Super Bowl contenders? I don't think they could do either of those things. I just think Lamar, it's going to be tough to beat out Lamar and Burrow. And I just don't think right now in his career, Russell Wilson, I just don't think he can get this team to the Super Bowl. This is a good roster. There are still issues with this roster, with the offense. The offensive line's an issue. The secondary's an issue. So there are some issues with this roster. I think Wilson's good enough to get them to the playoffs. I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders, though, with Russell Wilson as their quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I just think I don't think they got the offensive firepower, right now to compete with like a Buffalo or obviously Kansas City, or Cincinnati. I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're there yet. Yeah, the secondary needs some work. The offensive line has not been great the last couple of years. They're still trying to revamp that. So, yeah, I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're up there yet. I don't think they're going to compete with the top tier teams of the AFC just offensively on paper right now.
Yeah, I agree. Now, another quarterback has been signed, and this guy got signed by his own team. Baker Mayfield is back with the Bucs. He's back in Tampa. Him and Mike Evans are back. And the big question here for the Bucs are they going to get to the playoffs for the fifth year in a row? Are they going to get to the playoffs for the fifth year in a row with Baker Mayfield, in the second year in a row with Baker Mayfield? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because they haven't signed Lavonte David yet, so I don't know how good their defense is going to be. And also, here's another thing. Baker Mayfield has been so inconsistent throughout his career. Rookie year, good. Second year, not good. Third year, pretty good. Fourth year, not good. Fifth year, kind of was bouncing around the league. And last year, good. So he's just, throughout his six-year career, just very, a lot of ups and downs throughout a six-year career. So I'm going to say no. I don't think the Bucs are a playoff team. I don't trust the head coach either. I know the coach got into the playoffs the last 2 years. But I think the head coach is average at best. So I'm going to say no to the Bucs being a playoff team with Baker back.
I think they're going to be fighting for wild card, but right now I probably have the Rams getting that final wild card spot over the Buccaneers at the moment. They did not run the ball really well at all last year. Good for Baker to get the money and for him to kind of find some stability in his career to be able to stay in Tampa Bay. For the next few years, bringing back Mike Evans. He's been one of the best wide receivers since he's entered the league. So, the Bucs still need to kind of work on fixing their defense still a little bit. But I expect them to be fighting for a wild card spot. But I do think the Rams get that spot at the moment over Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll see. We'll see. I think with the playoff teams, the NFC, I think that the Cowboys and Eagles will make the playoffs. The Lions and Packers will probably be playoff team. I mean, the Falcons, they're going to go, the 49ers. So that's six teams right there. That seven spot is up in the air between teams, teams like the Bucks, teams like the Saints, teams like the Rams, even the Giants, seeing that they got Brian Burns yesterday, but I mean, the Daniel Jones things, we'll see what ends up happening there. But yeah, the Bucs are in that. The Bucs are definitely in the conversation. I just think that Baker is too inconsistent for me, and I don't trust the head coach. I mean, I think he's okay. He's not as bad as he was with the Jets, but still, I just don't trust the head coach I don't trust him. I don't trust him and Baker to get to the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's why I think they'll be in it. It'll be close. They'll be like, I think 7-8 wins, but I just don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't, I wouldn't be shocked if they find a way to get that final wild card spot. But yeah, I think it's going to be difficult in this, NFC. I think, there's going to be a good amount of teams fighting for that final spot. And yeah, Baker, he's been very up and down. He had a really nice year last year. But yeah, can he do that year two? Because now, the OC is gone. He went to Carolina. So it's a new OC office coordinator they're bringing in here. So yeah, we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're kind of just outside looking in to the playoffs next year.
Absolutely. So now with Wilson signed, Baker signed, and Cousins signed, the odd man out is Justin Fields here, and it looks like the Bears are gonna have trouble trading for him because it's gonna be tough for him to find a team. Like, who are his best fits right now? The Raiders. The Broncos aren't they don't have much cap space. Yeah. Maybe the Patriots, but I think the Patriots would be stupid to do that and not take a guy number three overall. So the market for Justin Fields is getting worse and worse. It's just getting worse and worse. So maybe you get a team that's desperate to give up a second round pick, but it's just hard to find a team right now. We all thought it might be Atlanta. It's not Atlanta. We all thought it might be Atlanta. You know, even the Raiders, they went out and signed Gardner Minshew. So it's going to be very, very hard for the Bears to trade Justin Fields. I'd say, though, his best fit right now would probably be the Raiders, because they got Devontae. They still got Devontae. I know they don't have a running game right now, but they still got Devontae Adams. Their defense is improved. We'll get to that later in the show. So I would say it's the Raiders, because the other option would be the Vikings. But are the Vikings going to trade Fields into the division? No. So I would say the Raiders.
No. For me, you know, because this is a tough one right now. Yeah, because the Vikings doesn't make sense. Denver, but yeah, they don't have the cap.
The two teams that made sense were the Steelers and the Falcons, but they both got their quarterbacks.
Yeah. Could your Giants be the option if Daniel Jones isn't totally ready?
That's a good point. That's a good one. That's a good one right there.
That's what Giants. I was saying. Yeah, the Giants could be, because I don't think the Pats are ever interested in them. I could see maybe the Giants, because I know Tyrod Taylor just signed with the Jets. DeVito's more of a third string than a second string. Maybe just comes in as a two, and then, you know, again, you don't re-sign him, but it's kind of a bridge if, you know, year for Justin Fields, you kind of figure it out, and Giants kind of figure out the future of their quarterback. So I kind of think right now maybe it's the Giants, because I couldn't find many other spots right now for him. Because with the Raiders, I thought about the Raiders too, but I know the OC went there, and the Bears former OC went there. I can't remember his name, but
Luke Getsy.
You know, I don't know if that relationship was great.
They kind of went out a little bit. Where do you go, the Raiders?
Yeah, he's a Raiders OC now.
Oh, so that's probably not a fit. That's probably not a fit either. So So it's hard. Justin Fields might end up being a backup.
Yeah, he could be somewhere. Or do the Bears hold on late until like August, and a starting quarterback goes down, and a team gets desperate, and the Bears could kind of, in a team, risk like a second round pick, something more than what they could get right now, and they get Fields because of the panic. So I could see them holding on until maybe a team needs a starting quarterback in August. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he's kind of the backup going in the camp or even the season with Chicago.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I would not either. So yeah, we'll see what happens with Fields there. It should be interesting. Yeah, because it's looking like he might very. It's gonna be weird. Do you really want him? I don't think you want him and Caleb Williams in the same locker room, though. That's the thing. So the Bears would probably have to release. Bears might have to even release him. So you don't want him and Caleb Williams in the same locker room. So the Bears will probably have to release him, and I'll probably have to be back up somewhere else. But you made a good point with the Giants. Very good point with the Giants. I wouldn't mind him being with the Giants. I wouldn't mind him being behind Daniel Jones.
Yeah, no, maybe he learned. Yeah, maybe Daniel Jones isn't ready. He could start a couple weeks. You can see what you got in him. Again, you know, I don't think you're paying him $40 million, but even for a year, you kind of use him as a backup, because, as you mentioned, you know, teams could still be fighting for a wild card spot. So, you know, he would not be a decent backup option because even if Daniel Jones comes back healthy, he's a guy that we've seen hasn't been able to stay on the field consistently. So, yeah, you know, you lose Daniel Jones at some point in the year. You do have a guy in Justin Fields who is not great, but is capable and could win you a couple games if he's got a start.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, he's Justin Fields. He's gotten better every year. The issue with him is the fourth quarters have been absolutely terrible, terrible for him. Three times last year, we brought it up earlier on a couple weeks ago. Three times last year, they had a lead going into the fourth quarter. Three times at a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter, and lost all three of those games. So he's just so bad in the fourth quarter. I think teams are looking at that, and that's why he's not getting the Bears aren't getting the value they thought they were going to get for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because he's, when you make him strictly a passer, yeah, it takes away his legs, and that's a huge asset for him, and you don't have to worry about him scrambling and going picking up 20 yards. So. I think his passing ability has gotten better over the years, but it's still not great. And yeah, you know, he's had some big moments last year to kind of, you know, try to win that job and kind of keep it, you know, and maybe the Bears kind of, you know, really have to make a tough decision to maybe pass and keep with Justin Fields being the franchise guy. But yeah, he just hasn't shown you enough. And yeah, if Caleb Williams kind of the guy that everybody thinks he's going to be, Fields hasn't shown you enough that he could be that guy. So yeah, you know, he's gotten better. But yeah, just the four quarter comebacks, and he's just, when he's strictly a passer, it takes away a huge element of his game.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. 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 So we will move on to the Chiefs and Chris Jones. He is back with the Chiefs on Saturday night. He signed a deal of 5 years, $160 million. I mean, I think that, close to what Aaron Donald, he's making close to what Aaron Donald's, I think he's now the highest paid defensive tackle, making $32 million a year. And I knew this was going to happen. I knew right when they franchised Snead. And they talked about trading for Legarius Sneed. You knew this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen. They talked about trading for Sneed. You knew Chris Jones was coming back. He is back. I think this is a big move. And the big question is should the Chiefs be the favorite to three-peat? And I'm saying absolutely. The Chiefs should definitely be the favorite to three-peat with him back, because he is their guy on defense. He is their Patrick Mahomes on defense. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league, has been for the last, 5-6 years. So he's their Patrick Mahomes on defense, and he's now back for 5 more years. So I think the Chiefs are the favorite to three-peat. I think the Chiefs should be the favorite to three-peat, should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl again this year.
Yeah. Adding Chris Jones, he had a huge impact in the run this year at the Super Bowl. He had a nice game against the Ravens. Had a big play there in the Super Bowl against the Niners. So he's had a huge impact defensively for that team. He's one of the best pass rushers at the tackle spot in the sport. So yeah, you kind of figured the Chiefs were going to get it done with him. Sign him long term. He's about to turn 30, so it's probably going to be his last kind of big deal here, in the NFL, more than likely. But yeah, good for the Chiefs to be able to keep him around. And yeah, he's been a leader for that defense, and he's definitely been a huge part of that defensive turnaround. So yeah, good for the Chiefs to kind of keep him there. And he's definitely worth it. And now offense, now you try to get things with Snead, but it's probably tough to re-sign him. So, we'll see. It's big to keep Chris Jones back, on that defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that defense is looking really good. But the next question, though, is for the Chiefs, is that what do they do with Legarius Sneed? I think they trade him. I just don't think they're going to be able to afford both those guys. I think he is just like Brian Burns, just like what I think is going to happen with a guy we're going to talk about, receiver we're going to talk about later. I think he's going to be traded.
Yeah, I do think so too. Maybe they could get something good for him. But yeah, they've done a really good job in the draft the last couple of years of finding guys. And I think they could find I know it's not a great defensive draft class right now. But I still think, yeah, they could probably be able to find somebody that could replace their, maybe Kool-Aid McSanister, first round out of Bama, could be there still. So, Cooper Jeans probably can go before that, but Nate Williams at Clemson, there's probably some options there that you could get in the first round. If you're Kansas City, try to find another cornerback. So yeah, I think probably trading them's their best option.
It definitely is. But even if they trade Snead, because they got Chris Jones back, they are the favorite to three-peat this year. They are my favorite to win the Super Bowl again this year. We'll move on to a team in their division. Then, speaking of defensive tackles, Christian Wilkins was signed by the Raiders, 4 years, $110 million. They also signed Gardner Minshew, too, yesterday. With these signings, are the Raiders a playoff team in Antonio Pierce's first year as head coach? I think no way. No way. I don't think they are. And Chris, to be honest with Christian Wilkins, he kind of popped on a contract year. He's a good player, but he popped in a contract year. Now, he could become Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence did the same thing last year. He could become Dexter Lawrence and become a great player in this league, or he could be a guy who had one, good year in a contract year. So the big question is are they a playoff team right now? I don't think so. I think it's a 6-7 win team with Antonio Pierce in his first year. And the biggest issue is the quarterback position. They really don't have their quarterback going forward. I think Gardner Minshew played well last year, but I don't think he's the answer going forward.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do a long-term answer. Maybe he's there for like a year or two while they kind of figure out the future quarterback spot. But yeah, Wilkins had a huge, huge contract year, as I mentioned. He had 9 sacks last year. I think he was up 3.5 sacks in the year before. So he had a really nice year. You put him in the middle there. You got Max Crosby on the end. I know they didn't get what they wanted out of Tyree Wilson last year. He wasn't great, their first round pick last year. But, you know, they got to get to the pass because their secondary is still not great. It was a little bit better last year. But yeah, you know, with the Raiders right now, I'm probably with you, like a 7-1 team right now. And that's a tough division. You got the Broncos that are going to be fighting for, you know, could be fighting for a wild card spot. And you got to imagine with Harbaugh coming in, the Chargers are fighting for, you know, the Chargers are probably going to be a playoff team, you know, with everybody back healthy. So it's going to be a tough division for them, for the Raiders to kind of, you know, finish in second place again. So yeah, right now I don't have the Raiders as a playoff team.
No. I think again, this is a 6-7 win team that you know needs a quarterback. We'll see what they do. That's another team that very easily could trade up for JJ McCarthy, just like the Vikings. So we'll see what the Raiders end up doing there. But yeah, I just don't see this team being a playoff team. But now going from the Raiders to a former Raider, Josh Jacobs signed with the Packers. Packers had a good day yesterday. Good day. I mean, they got Xavier McKinney. They signed Xavier McKinney and they signed Josh Jacobs. So the Packers are in good shape. You know, they released Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones has now been signed by the Minnesota Vikings. But yeah, Packers had a really, really good day yesterday. They did. I think they're in this team's in position to compete with the Lions and compete with the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're one of those teams because of the play of Jordan Love, and now you replace Josh Jacobs with Aaron Jones. So. And you improve your defense getting I mean, Xavier McKinney's not great, but still, you improve your defense getting Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they had to fix the secondary. The Packers that wasn't great last year, and bringing Josh Jacobs for 12 mil. I think it's a little expensive. He did have a down year last year. You know, I don't know if partly because he, you know, the holdout and he showed up to camp late. You know, after 2022, he led the entire league rushing the year prior. So he didn't end on a great year with the on a contract here, but you know, he's been a guy that's, you know, I know he was banged up a little bit too last year, but he's a guy that's been able to stay on the field. He's still, you know, he's 26, so he'll be 35 times up. But again, like with Barkley, you can't blame these running backs for wanting to go get their money. But just short self life. But you know, it was odd that they signed him, they cut Aaron Jones, and you know, because for a few minutes, they kind of thought Jacobs and Aaron Jones, that was going to be a heck of a backfield with those two being able to run the football. But, you know, then they released Jones. But, yeah, you know, the Packers, you know, had a pretty good day. You know, had a really good day yesterday upgrading their defense and you know, getting Josh Jacobs a nice running back option as well.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely did. Oh, just staying with the running backs, we'll quickly talk about Tony Pollard signing with the Titans. I feel like this is the Titans just throwing money at a guy. And the Cowboys, they didn't want to re-sign him. He had a pretty decent year for the Cowboys, but still, yeah, I think this is a downgrade over Derrick Henry. And I think for Dallas, Jerry Jones says they're all in. They didn't look like they were all in yesterday. And a big reason for that is because they have refused to extend their, you know, top 10 quarterback who led the league in touchdown passes. You think you would do that? You think you would do that? Then you see your, you know, your arch rival go out and get better and sign Saquon Barkley. So Dallas did absolutely nothing yesterday, and we said it earlier in the show that they are the second best team in the division now to the Philadelphia Eagles. And this move for Pollard and the Titans, I mean, I think this is just pretty much the Titans had a bunch of cap space. They probably think they're going to lose Derrick Henry, so why not just get a guy on this roster to help Will Levis?
Yeah, it's not a crazy move here. Adding Tony Pollard, I think him and Tyjae Spears could be, you know, a nice 1-2 combination in the backfield. But yeah, other than that, 8 mil for Pollard's okay. Yeah, you know, as kind of being the lead back without Zeke last year, kind of, you know, didn't pop off like a lot of people thought he did. He just got over 1,000 yards last year. But yeah, you know, kind of surprised. But I, you know, Cowboys didn't resign him. But yeah, Jerry, you know, surprised that Jerry didn't get out and get one of those big name running backs if he knew. But maybe they're waiting on Derrick Henry. You know, maybe he's bringing a guy like that, maybe. But yeah, I don't, not a huge move there for the Titans. It's not gonna be a great team, but yeah, they had a lot of cap and they ended up just giving it to, you know, to Tony Pollard, what he's got.
And speaking of Derrick Henry, we got breaking news. Derrick Henry has signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Henry has signed with the Ravens. So Jerry Jones out of luck there too with Derrick Henry. He has just signed with the Ravens. It's just in. We got breaking news. Derrick Henry has signed with the Ravens. And the big question here for the Ravens is are they the best team in the AFC with this signing? And I said it earlier. I know it's going to help them, but no, they're not. I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. I think it's a nice one. They've been really banged up the last couple years at the running back position. I want to say yes, but is Todd Monken going to run the ball in the AFC Championship game if they play again? You know, like Derrick Henry can't help you if you're throwing the ball around. So I want to, but I got to see Lamar and that team get over the hump and win it first. I hope they do, but yeah, right now I still have to take the Chiefs at this current moment.
Yeah, I definitely still take the Chiefs. I do because the Ravens have always had a really good running game. Now Derrick Henry is still really good, but he's not as great as he was in his prime in Tennessee. But it's definitely going to help this team. And the other question is I know we're doing this on the fly. Are the Ravens the best team in the AFC North? And as of right now, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes because of what the Bengals lost, and we'll get to what the Bengals are. We'll get to the Bengals next. We're talking about the Ravens, and we'll talk about the Bengals. But I do think they're the best team in the North. I do think they should be the favorite to win the AFC North, getting Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Ravens finishing first in the division. I thought they had a really good year last year, and I think now Derrick Henry in this backfield, where you know, I know the last couple of years they've had like Spears, they've had some in Hilliard kind of as backups in Tennessee. But now, you know, like it's kind of by committee. They do have J.K. Dobbs. They do have Gus Edwards. You know, they do have like Justice Hill. So they do have other guys where you don't have to, you know, Derrick Henry doesn't have to carry the ball 35 times a game. They do have other guys that, you know, will help his workload, which I think will help because, yeah, he is getting up there in age. So I think Baltimore is going to have a solid running game like they usually do. And I still think they are right now the best team in the division.
And there's a ton of pressure on Lamar Jackson. There's a ton of pressure on Lamar Jackson. The excuses are over. I mean, they went out and drafted Hollywood Brown. They gave you all – Zay Flowers.
I was going to say Zay Flowers. Zay
Flowers. They got you, they pretty much gave you all the money. They gave you $51 million a year. Now Derrick Henry's coming. You got to get the job done. You've won two MVPs, but in the big games, you haven't played well. You didn't play well against the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. You didn't play well a couple years ago against the Bills in that divisional round game. You didn't play well against the Titans in that divisional round game either. So this is a nice signing for the Ravens. This is, again, as we've seen with Saquon and Derrick Henry, these are signings. This is why you don't want to build your team around a running back, but when you get a running back, you want to get a running back when you're right there. You're right there to compete to get to a Super Bowl. You're right there to get to a Super Bowl, and it is the last piece to get you over the hump.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is. It's one of the better running backs in the sport. That's coming in. You know, with the running game they already have, with already a couple backs that they do have. Yeah, I think it's a nice addition for Baltimore. Signed 2 years, $60 million. So getting 8 year or eight or so $60 million, but it's worth up to $20 million according to Schefter. So that's not a bad deal for Derrick Henry to get him for $8 million a year. So that's not a bad deal. So yeah, you know, I know Zay Flowers last year's the number. He kind of showed some bright spots. Could they get another wide receiver for Lamar Jackson? You know, Mark Andrews can be back and healthy. He's one of the better tight ends of the sport. So. Yeah, you know, Baltimore's got it. You know, they just had another wide receiver there. Their offense is really, really, really good.
So we will go from a running back that is joining the NFC North to a running back that is leaving the NFC. Getting into the NFC North to a running back that is leaving the AFC. Leaving the AFC North, and that is Joe Mixon, because Joe Mixon has been traded from the Bengals to the Texans. And the big question here with Joe Mixon is going to the Texans, are they the best team in the AFC South? I we know they're Super Bowl contenders with CJ Stroud. And again, this is another move of another team that's trying to get to the Super Bowl, signing or trading for a running back. And I think Mixon, he's not as good as he was in his prime. I think he's still out of his prime, but he's still a good running back. So, And it's better. I think it's an upgrade over Devin Singletary. So I do think they are the favorite. Even though they had a rough day yesterday, losing Grenard, losing Cashman, losing Blake Cashman and Jonathan Grenard. They had a rough day yesterday. I do think that the Texans are the favorites in the AFC South because I think that the Jaguars, I think it's close between them and the Jags, but I'll take CJ Stroud over Trevor Lawrence. So I am going to say, yes, the Texans are the favorite in the AFC South.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, Joe Mixon's a nice addition. Yeah, he did down year last year, but I still think, him, Damian Pierce, I know didn't have a great year either, but I think that could be a nice backfield there. But what we saw out of CJ Stroud last year over what we've seen from Lawrence in a big moment, a big spot, big game. I'm taking CJ Stroud right now over Trevor Lawrence. So when it comes down to it, and Lawrence has been banged up to last year a lot. So, he wasn't particularly healthy either. So yeah, right now I'll still take Texans to win that division again over Jacksonville.
I think it's gonna be close. But I'm going to take, as of right now, I'm going to take Houston. But we will continue to talk about another player that's going to be leaving the Bengals, and that's T. Higgins. He asked to be traded because of the lack of getting an extension. And if you're the New England Patriots, you got to be jumping on this. You got to be jumping on getting T. Higgins. You got to be jumping on it. You got to be. You got the cap space. I know we'll get to them, and they brought a lot of their own guys back. But you got to be jumping on getting T. Higgins. You need a number one wide receiver. I think there's three really, really good fits for him. Two really good fits. I think the Patriots are a good fit. I think the Bears to add some depth at receiver, and then the Titans because they have the cap space and they need a wide receiver for Will Levis. But I think the Patriots are the best fit for him. He'll have a young quarterback. He'll build chemistry. We'll get to what they're going to do at quarterback, but there'll be a new quarterback there. But this is the piece if you're the Patriots. I think this would be a really good fit for him to go to the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with you. They need a number one wide receiver. My dream is T. Higgins and then draft Marvin Harrison at number three. And then I'll wait to tell you my quarterback decision, when we get there. I saw this morning, I think it was from Schefter, that Calvin Ridley kind of preferred to sign with Jacksonville over New England. So if they don't get Calvin Ridley, I hope T. Higgins is their next option because, yeah, they have the cap space. They really need to rework this offense. They need to have another weapon. I love to have Higgins, Marvin Harrison, and then Kendrick Bourne is your number three. And then Demario Douglas, your number four. I think that's a solid wide receiver group right there. And, I like Hunter Henry at the tight end spot. So, yeah, I'm hoping that'd be great to get T. Higgins. Yeah, we need a number one wide receiver. We've been lacking that. Since Edelman's been gone. So it's been a while and since we've had a guy. And yeah, for that young quarterback or for Brissett, if he starts for a couple of weeks, we'll love to really reamp that offense because, yeah, it's been horrible to watch the last couple of years that offense go.
Yeah, and a big reason why that offense was horrible was because of the quarterback of that. Yeah, it wasn't all his fault, but the quarterback of that offense, and that was Mac Jones. But the Patriots moved on from him on Sunday, trading him to the Jaguars, and I felt like it was over. It was over. It was broken. For the way he played last year and for the relationship he had with the organization, it just felt like it was over. Felt like he needed a new start, and he has it in Jacksonville. Now, unfortunately for him, he's not going to play at all because Trevor Lawrence doesn't miss games, but he just needed a new start going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, absolutely. He needed it. It was pretty obvious that he was going to get traded. There was no way they were going to bring him back. Half of it was on him. Half of it on the organization pretty much failed him because after his rookie year, I've mentioned this many times, he looked like a guy that could be a competent franchise quarterback. And then the decision to bring in bring in Matt Patricia and Joe Judge just absolutely destroyed any confidence that kid had. And it's been broken ever since. So, yeah, it's time for a new start. Hopefully, he grew up a Jacksonville fan. He's from the area. So hopefully he could get down, go down there. Him and Trevor Lawrence have known each other for a while. So maybe I know him and Zappy did not have a good relationship either. So maybe somebody he knows like Lawrence will kind of help him out too. So, Lawrence wasn't healthy last year. So maybe he does have an opportunity to start a game or two. And, again, I'm rooting for him. I hope he bounces back and kind of figures out his career because, wasn't all him.
No, it wasn't all him, but he definitely contributed to the problem. And now, though, with him gone, does this mean the Patriots take a quarterback with a number three pick. And I think they have to. I think they got no choice. They got to take a quarterback with that pick. You got three guys there, Williams, May, and Daniels. And I just think the Patriots have no choice. The Patriots have no choice. They have to take a quarterback with the number three overall pick.
I want Marvin Harrison number three, and then you either draft in the second round or you trade back late in the first and you get Michael Penix Jr. That's who I want my starting quarterback. I'm not sold on May.
Michael Penix. Michael Penix he gets hurt a lot. He's not the most mobile guy. I am not sold on Michael Penix. I think one of these other you gotta take one of these three guys.
I'm not sold on May or Daniels. I'm just not. I know Daniels had a really good year, but I'm not sold. I know people, he could be Lamar Jackson. I don't see it. He's a guy that's going to get himself killed because he does not slide. Yeah, Penix is older. I don't care about the age. He's a guy that's got a lively arm. You get T. Higgins, Marvin Harrison, Kendrick Bourne as your top three. Couple guys that could, deep routes. He's got an arm. He's really good at avoiding sacks. I think he was only sacked like 31 times in his whole career.
Yeah, because even in the national championship game, you got was under pressure a lot, but you didn't get sacked that much.
Yeah, but this Patriots offensive line, it's still not great. We'll see what they do. But I think, I know he's missed a lot of time with the injuries. That is a little bit of a worry. But again, I don't care about the age. I think, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks out there. I'm more sold on him than I am of May or Jaden Daniels. So that's why I want to trade either late first round or early second round and go get Michael Penix Jr.
Wow, you're not sold on one of those two guys? I just feel like they have to. They have to take one of those two. I know Harrison's probably the guy Harrison's definitely the most sure thing in this draft, but I think they got to take one of those two guys because I just think they need to get one of those two guys. I just have more trust in one of those two than I know. They didn't win as many games as Michael Penix, and you and Joe are big on, guys that win games. But still, I think that Romo Dunze helped Michael Penix a little bit,
Won in Indiana. Like, Indiana.
I remember he won in Indiana. I remember well the opening game in 2020. I remember that he won in Indiana. I remember that 2020 season he had in Indiana. I know. And he was pretty good the year before. I know he won in Indiana. But again, I think Romo Dunze helped them a little bit in Washington. Did Jaden Daniels have a receiver? Oh, no, Malik Nabers.
Neighbors.
I get it. And then, did Drake May have a receiver as good as Romo Dunze?
He had downs last year. He had a kid half the year. He transferred from Kent State. I forget his name. But, yeah, I like May. I'm just not totally sold on him. I don't know what it is. I'm not totally sold on him yet. I like Penix, man. The guy's tough. I love his arm. Because the thing is, too, if they draft a quarterback at three, say they don't get T. Higgins, who's that quarterback throwing to? We're just going to be in the same situation as Mac Jones. The guy's going to get no confidence.
That's why you go out and trade for T. Higgins or go out and sign Calvin Ridley. That's why you go out and make that move. That's why, and we're going to get to the Patriot free agency. That's why they need to get a pass catcher.
That's why they do, but I'm saying if they don't, and they go with the Jaden Daniels or Drake May number three. Who's that new guy throwing to? I love Bourne, but he ain't a number one. I would love to be a second or a third option. I don't want him to be the one. So, I just feel like you're going to kill the QB's confidence, whoever it is. And then we're just going down the same loophole that we just did. And that guy, and they're going to boo that guy out of town because they all want the next Tom Brady because the expectations are through the roof for the next franchise guy. And you're just not. I just don't know how much longer fans are going to have patience. I just don't know. Yeah. And that's why I want to really reamp this offense because they need more than just a quarterback. And that's why get Marvin Harrison, who, looks like the sure thing. You add him with T. Higgins, and then that offense looks a lot better than it has the last couple of years.
Yeah, we'll see. I just think they got to go quarterback. But we'll talk about more of the Pats free agency. And they really have just brought back some of their own guys. Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne. Owenu was good. I like bringing back
Owenu. Yeah, I like that move.
Bringing him back. But he brought back a lot of their own guys. They've really been active. That's why, as we said earlier, I think it's got to be Higgins or Ridley. Higgins or Ridley got to be on this team in the next couple of days. Ridley would be the next couple of days. Higgins would probably take a little bit longer. But one of those two guys has got to be on this team. You got the cap space to do it. Why don't you go out and do it? Elliot Wolf has got to make a move here.
Yeah, he does. I'm all with you. They do. They need to go out, go trade for a T. Higgins. Calvin Ridley, I much rather T. Higgins than Calvin Ridley. He's nice. He's a nice player. But, yeah, you know, I'm happy about Mike Iwuanu coming back. Him and David Andrews are the only two offensive linemen I want back. Strange has been awful. Sid So has been awful. Trent Brown, thank God he's gone. That guy was a cancer last year in that locker room. And I don't mind bringing back Hunter Henry. I thought he had a really nice year. I think he's been a leader for this offense the last couple of years. So I don't mind him. You know, him and Farrell Brown, he had some good moments. I know Gesicki signed today with, I forget who, but Gesicki's gone. So, yeah, you know, I like a couple of the guys they brought back. But now I'm hoping they go outside and they go get a couple other guys, go add another cornerback. I'm excited about Iwuanu coming back, Hunter Henry, as well, and Kendrick Bourne, who coming off the ACL, I hope, because he's been somebody I hope they do more gadget stuff with. I know they did it a little bit 2 years ago, but I'm hoping with the new offensive staff, they kind of do that even more with him this year, because, you know, especially if he's more of a slot this year, if you can go get a Higgins or Marvin Harrison, you could play more in the slot, which I think would be beneficial as well. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I just think they got to go out and get one of those two receivers. I just think they do. They got to get one of those two receivers. And they got to get the quarterback, and they got to get the quarterback right. It's a huge move for Elliott Wolf's career as the de facto GM of the Patriots is going to be: can he get this quarterback? Can he get it right? Can he get the quarterback? Can he get this thing right? Because they didn't the last time, and you saw what happened. Bill Belichick got ran out. Bill Belichick was relieved of. I mean, look, I know they said he resigned, but pretty much got fired. And the big reason for that is they didn't get the quarterback thing right. They didn't get that right. So Elliott Wolf has got to get the quarterback thing right, and he's got to go out and get one of those two receivers. That's what I think he needs to do for this team in free agency.
Yeah, I'm with you. They have to. They got to fix that offense. Their leading receiver last year had 500 yards. That was Douglas. God. That was a 6-round rookie. That's not. Yeah. That's not. You can't have that happen. And I don't care. It was the two quarterbacks. Yes, they were both bad, but they were both put in horrible situations where nobody was going to come in. Tom Brady would have had a hard time succeeding with this offense.
He would have had a hard time winning a championship. He would have somehow found a way to get that team into the playoffs. But he would have a hard time. No, I'm with you. He would have had a very hard time winning a championship with that team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Juju being your number one, yeah, Brady was able to kind of do it. But like, you know, with that offensive line, he was not escaping much. You know, like even at his age, you know, there was not much time to throw the football last year. So, yeah, it's bad. They need to fix that offense big time. And you know, it's a big year for Wolf and who, I don't get what they're doing with the GM position, but that's another story for another day. And, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what the Pats end up doing in free agency if they pick up a big receiver in free agency. But we'll wrap the show talking about Garrett Colton, and he's going to get an MRI on his shoulder. And we just hope everything's okay with him, because if they don't have Garrett Cole, this team is done. This season is over, and this team will not finish higher than fourth place in the AL East.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's the elbow, actually, and that's always discomfort. The elbow.
Okay.
So, that's always a scary thing, shoulder, elbow. It's not good. And Bob Nightingale, I think, said the Yankees have engaged in talks again with Dylan Cease. So, not great. And Aaron, I don't know if you're – Aaron Judge this morning has been banged up as well, so I guess they're hoping he'll be ready for opening day. So not great news. So yeah, the season would be over if Cole's gone, because who do you trust? Rodon's gonna be your number one, and after last year, I don't trust that him being our number one at all. So yeah, the season would be over very quick and be unfortunate with the addition of Juan Soto. So be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's gonna wrap it up on Sports Talk with RJ, but we are going to be back in about 5 minutes to talk about all the conference tournaments and all you need to know going into Selection Sunday in college basketball. So make sure you tune in for that.
Hello, my name is Joe McGuire. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Man. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meat, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, the Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.